Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. We're in the middle of a series called The Attributes of a Healing Treatment. The first one was to establish your oneness with the Father. The second one was establish that you're in the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven. Number three was refute the belief in the lie and denounce evil. Fourth was be obedient to God's leading of what needs to be handled. Number five was specifically handle fear. Tonight's is replace the lie with the truth of God's allness and goodness. We're going to begin our service now by singing hymn number 85. God of truth, eternal good, lift our hearts to revelation, that thou mayest be understood, thou the rock of our salvation. All thy love we have for loving, all thy truth is ours for proving. Hymn number 85. Read from the Bible. Psalms. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. John. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. 1 Chronicles, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Psalms, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Psalms. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. 1 John. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Ephesians. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Exodus. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. First sympathy. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Joshua. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. Acts. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Deuteronomy. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Psalms. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of the nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Isaiah. I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Psalms. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. We sustain truth not by accepting, but by rejecting a lie. One, God is all in all. Two, God is good. Good is mind. Three, God spirit being all, nothing is matter. Four, life God, omnipotent good, deny death, evil, sin, disease. Disease, sin, evil, death, deny good. Omnipotent God, life. Which of the denials in Proposition 4 is true? Both are not, cannot be true. According to the scripture, I find that God is true, but every mortal man a liar. The divine metaphysics of Christian Science, like the method of mathematics, proves the rule by inversion. For example, there is no pain in truth, and no truth in pain. No nerve in mind, and no mind in nerve. No matter in mind, and no mind in matter. No matter in life, and no life in matter. No matter in good, and no good in matter. God makes and governs all. God is the divine principle of all that represents him and all that really exists. Mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God good is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error without intelligence or reality. Truth is affirmative and confers harmony. All metaphysical logic is inspired by this simple rule of truth, which governs all reality. By the truthful arguments you employ, and especially by the spirit of truth and love which you entertain, you will heal the sick. Truth brings the elements of liberty. Whatever enslaves man is opposed to the divine government. Truth makes man free. If thought is startled at the strong claim of science for the supremacy of God or truth and doubts the supremacy of good, ought we not, contrarywise, to be astounded at the vigorous claims of evil and doubt them, and no longer think it natural to love sin and unnatural to forsake it, no longer imagine evil to be ever present and good absent. Truth should not seem so surprising and unnatural as error, and error should not seem so real as truth. Creator, spirit, mind, intelligence, the animating divine principle of all that is real and good, self-existent life, truth, and love, that which is perfect and eternal, the opposite of matter and evil, which have no principle. God, who made all that was made and could not create an atom or an element, the opposite of himself. Question, is there more than one God or principle? Answer, there is not. Principle and its idea is one, and this one is God. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being. And his reflection is man and the universe. Omni is adopted from the Latin adjective signifying all. Hence, God combines all power or potency, all science or true knowledge, all presence. God creates all forms of reality. His thoughts are spiritual realities. So-called mortal mind being non-existent and consequently not within the range of immortal existence, could not, by simulating deific power, invert the divine creation and afterwards recreate persons or things upon its own plane, since nothing exists beyond the range of all-inclusive infinity in which and of which God is the sole creator. Good cannot result in evil. As God himself is good and is spirit, goodness and spirituality must be immortal. Their opposites, evil and matter, are mortal error. An error has no creator. If goodness and spirituality are real, evil and materiality are unreal and cannot be the outcome of an infinite God good. Everything good or worthy God made. Whatever is valueless or baneful, he did not make. Hence, its unreality. In the science of Genesis, we read that he saw everything which he had made, and behold, it was very good. The corporeal senses declare otherwise. And if we give the same heed to the history of error as to the records of truth, the scriptural record of sin and death favors the false conclusion of the material senses. Sin, sickness, and death must be deemed as devoid of reality as they are of good, God. Good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omni-action. God good being ever-present, it follows in divine logic that evil, the suppositional opposite of good, is never present. Mind science is wholly separate from any halfway and impertinent knowledge, because mind science is of God and demonstrates the divine principle, working out the purposes of good only. The maximum of good is the infinite God and his idea, the all in all. The starting point of divine science is that God's spirit is all in all, and that there is no other might nor mind. That God is love, and therefore he is divine principle. God, the divine principle of man, and man in God's likeness, are inseparable, harmonious, and eternal. Truth casts out error now, as surely as it did 19 centuries ago. All of truth is not understood, hence its healing power is not fully demonstrated. If sickness is true, or the idea of truth, you cannot destroy sickness, and it would be absurd to try. Then classify sickness and error as our master did when he spoke of the sick whom Satan hath bound, and find a sovereign antidote for error in the life-giving power of truth, acting on human belief, a power which opens the prison doors to such as are bound, and sets the captive free, physically and morally. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and his idea. Allow nothing but his likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian science instead of corporeal sense support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony. What is the scientific statement of being? Answer: there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn, which is 56. thy truth unchanged hath ever stood. Thou savest those on thee call. To them that seek thee, thou art good. To them that find thee, all in all. Hymn number 56. Good evening and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. We're so glad that you are there. I have one very important announcement for the members of our church. On September 25th, we had planned a business meeting, and that has now been changed to Wednesday, October the 9th at 6 o'clock, and the same agenda will have for that night. It's just been changed from September 25th to October the 9th. So make that note on your calendar that it has been changed. I would like to invite anyone who would like to send in a testimony to be read at our service, that you are online, that you would like to be a part of our group. Please email me ahead of time. I'd be glad to share any thoughts or testimonies or things that you would like to share with all of us. You can do it either online through carmelcs.org, or you can email me at jeanbase@me.com. Either way, I'll get it, and I'll be glad to share it with you. Shirley has the microphone. Make sure you hold it nice and close to your mouth so that everyone online can hear and so that everybody in our audience can hear. Now it's your turn to share any thoughts that you may have, any healings that you've had this week, or just anything that you would like to say.
Thanks for your readings tonight. I just wanted to say what a powerful treatment this lesson was tonight, replacing the negative thoughts with the truth that God shows to us right from Genesis, all of the goodness that He created and shares with us, to Mrs. Eddy's explanations in Science and Health. I thought it was absolutely wonderful, a treatment unto itself. And I don't know how many more sections of your article, your series on giving a treatment is, but I'm sure enjoying it. You know, this week's lesson that we exchanged the objects that stands for the ideas and soul, and that is replacing the negative with the positive. And one part of a Christian Science treatment that's very important, and I thought your lesson really brought out wonderful thoughts today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your readings tonight. I think that truth, that is probably when I first started Christian Science, and I didn't grow up in it, but when I first found Christian Science, truth and that lesson and that statement is what really, really helped me the most and was probably the most understandable for me. And I always remember some of the struggles that I had back in the day, and I used that and I understood it, and it did make me free. It made me free of some pain. It made me free of some mental things. And from then on, whenever I've struggled with something, whether mentally or physically, of something that I've had to deal with, that's what I go back to, is ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then all the readings and citations in Christian Science, they have just really taken me to that next level, to that next stage. And so your readings tonight and reminding me of all of that, and just to hold tight to that truth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the lesson. I never take notes on the lesson, but tonight I had a notebook in my person, so I pulled it out and I started taking notes throughout the lesson. And I'm dying to go back and count the times I wrote the word good, because it was just beautiful. I loved it. And it's such a clear statement of what Christian Science is. And what I learned about Christian Science, what drew me to Christian Science, was this God that was just so good, 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 good. And you read from the definition of creator, not an atom or element unlike good, and which just leaves no space or place for anything else. My early instruction in Christian Science, because I was beyond Sunday school age, came from a practitioner, and he told me a healing that he had as a result of the prayers of a practitioner that was my teacher. And that hymns here tonight, just besides the lesson, and their utter reliance and utter faith and trust in good, and their just radiating goodness, as they both did. I love this healing that he told me, and I think I shared it before, but tonight's lesson brings it back to me again. To those who on thee call, to them that seek thee, thou art good. To them that find thee, all in all. Well, certainly, these dear practitioners did that, spoke that, lived that. This one practitioner told me of a time when he lived downtown, he and his wife for a period of years, and he was walking on the circle, and he was hit by a car, and he was unconscious, rushed to a hospital, and before he could say that he didn't want medical care, and it was determined that he had a broken back. When he regained consciousness, he asked to be taken to his home, which he was, and his wife, and he decided that the best place for him was on this door that they had, just lying on the floor in his living room. And he said that throughout that first day, he was working closely with the practitioner on hymns and ideas, certainly of God's goodness and certainly of God's allness and the nothingness of anything else to have power, authority, law, reality. And one of the hymns that he was singing was hymn number 5. And he said that because being the practitioner he was, he kept going to then all of truth, let's see, depart from sin, awake to love. Your mission is to heal, then all of truth you must approve and only know the real. And he sang that again and again and again. And he said in just a moment, it occurred to him that that was exactly what was going on, that he was only knowing the real, that the mission, his mission, the mission of that practitioner working for him was to heal. And he said he got up and he bent down and touched his toes. And then he went in and woke his wife up and showed her that he could touch his toes. And healing was done and complete. And that's the might and reality and substance of this all good God in Christian Science.
Wow, I hadn't heard it before. So that was wonderful. Thank you so much, Sharon.
I'm grateful for the lessons we've learned in Christian Science about listening. And even though it seems like something might not make sense or whatever, we need to listen and pray. And several years ago, when I was teaching, the last week of school, and it was Wednesday was the last full day, and I woke up that morning, and I said to my wife, Marilyn, I'm going to go to Muncie to see my dad. And she said, oh, honey, this is the last week of school, the last full day. You know how the teachers depend on you for discipline and what have you. And I said, I understand that, but I feel led to go to Muncie today. And she said, well, if you've prayed about it and it's come to you, then you need to, you know, do what you feel is something you should do. And so anyway, I got dressed, got up, and I went to Muncie. And my father had not been well. He had sold his company, which was his life. And he had just, after that happened, he would sort of went to bed. He did go to bed. And we had a live-in maid, and Helen was with him almost exclusively. And she'd rub his back and express love. And anyway, I got home and I said, I've come to see Dad. And I was told he's fine. He's God's image and likeness. And I said, I wouldn't argue that. I'm just telling you I'm going to go back and say hi to him. So I went back and he looked at me and he said, I'm so grateful you came. I have some things I want to share with you. And he shared with me several beautiful thoughts about how God heals. We're perfect. We're God's image and likeness. Just some really good Christian Science healing thoughts. And then he said to me, and there's something I've always wanted to say to you, and I've never said it. And I said, what's that, Dad? And he said, I've always wanted to tell you I love you, Bill, and I've never once told you that. And I want to tell you that right now. And I said, Dad, that is so meaningful. I can't believe. And these beautiful thoughts you've given me about life, eternal life, and Christian life. I said, I'm so grateful that I came to see you today. And he said, well, I am too. So I left and I went home. And my wife was standing on her front porch. And she said, Bill, your dad passed on a half hour ago. And that was about a half hour after I'd seen him. And I thought, I'm so grateful that I listened and that I went ahead and went to Muncie on the last week of school, the last full day, and that I had an opportunity to share beautiful Christian Science thoughts with my father. And he shared with me all those healing thoughts and the fact that he has always loved me. I'll never be able to express what a
wonderful, long-lasting thing that has been for me personally. And I've been able to use some of the thoughts with my own children, and it's just been a blessing. So I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful for our teachings, and that we're taught to listen and to follow directions of God. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your readings, and I really loved hymn number 56 as I practiced it. It was, there's a lot in that hymn, a lot of really good thoughts. As I thought about your subject for tonight, some thoughts came to me as far as the truth is concerned. And, you know, when I was a little guy growing up, you know, in the Christian Science, you know, family and such, whatever happened, whatever kind of misfortune you had, whatever kind of bump or bruise you had, you were told to know the truth about it. Well, you know, when you're 8 or 9 years old, you know, what does that mean? You know, I mean, you've been in Sunday school. I mean, you know, the Ten Commandments and the Psalms and the Beatitudes and, you know, Eternal Mind the Potter is hymn number 51. I mean, Onward Christian Soldiers, you know, all the, you know, kind of the regular stuff. But, you know, it became kind of like, not something you discarded, and not like a throwaway line, but just something that just kind of was there. You know, okay, I'm good. I know the truth about it. You know, but what does that mean? So, you know, I always felt like I knew, I mean, like really deep down, like I knew what it was. And when I went to class instruction, my teacher, of course, went through treatments and, you know, acknowledging the truth and bringing the truth in to a treatment and disparaging everything else was a cornerstone of the treatment. And, you know, it just kind of brought things around for me a little bit, you know, kind of like full circle. What finished the circle was not getting hit by a car, but this happened, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that or whatever. I was accompanying a young, well, not a young woman, but another woman, and her young, she had like a niece, nephew, and such. She'd asked for me to accompany them the escapades on ice. Somebody was on ice. You know, there's always somebody on ice downtown. Every year, Disney or Toy Story or somebody's on ice. And so I, you know, agreed to pick them up, drive them down, kind of be the chauffeur kind of guy, whatever. So I let them off right there in front of Anchors Life Fieldhouse, and then I went and parked the car, and I used to work downtown, so I had a place I could park the car, and somebody took care of it for me. So I got out of the car, and I made my way over towards Anchors Life Fieldhouse. And as I went across Pennsylvania Street, at the light changed, and I was in a line of people, and I was on the end of the line, and as, you know, the light changed, you know, you kind of made your way across the street. Well, there was a cyclist running the light. And I got to tell you, driving Uber, I see this all the time. It's like the rules don't apply with cyclists a lot. And it didn't apply to this guy. I mean, he was coming. And I didn't see him. I was with this line. We were all stepped across. And I just happened to take the bullet for everybody else that was in this line. And he knocked me over pretty good. And, of course, everybody was immediately concerned. He kept going. He never stopped. And everybody was very concerned, and there was, you know, the whole thing, because he hit me, like, right here. And I was on the ground, of course, and everybody, you know, went to get you, you know, hospital, doctor, this, that, whatever the case is. You know, it's one of those things. I grew up, never had a broken bone. I played every sport you could play. I never broke anything. I never sprained anything. I never whatever anything. You know, so, I mean, I don't have a history of a healing scenario really to work from. But, you know, for a lot of things, you know, by that time I'd been in the church and been a member for half a dozen years or so. I've been through class instruction, you know, and read the lesson. by golly, guess what? I knew the truth about this situation. It just came full cycle, you know? And I immediately got up and blew into Banker's life. And on the way there, I called Dory Ferland, and I told her what had happened. And immediately we were having the conversation. We were immediately having the conversation about the truth and what the truth was and what I knew the truth to be. That was more important, not just, you know, something called the truth, but what I knew, what we all know the truth to be. And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't want to tell you that there was some kind of instantaneous kind of thing, but, you know, I mean, it was like, of course, I sat there for a couple of hours through the ice capades, got up, drove everybody home, you know, went and got the car and drove everybody home, kind of made my way through that. You know, it's funny, it was Saturday night, and the whole, you know, it's just so great with Christians. There's like an end to the means to the end. You know what I mean? Just like, you just like know. And I saw in front of me that piano right there, and being able to play that piano the next day, because my shoulders kind of what took the hit like head on. So it was kind of like, you know, so what happened there? You know, didn't know, didn't care, didn't acknowledge, period. But the light at my end of the tunnel, the initial, I slept that night in a chair at my house, in a rocking chair. I didn't change clothes, and I put a sport coat over the top of what I had on, threw some kind of tie on, and came in here and played with no pain, with no discomfort, with no whatsoever. Immediate, it's just like there was the immediacy. When I walked in this church and I, you know, I had known the truth. I had wrapped myself around the truth, and I knew, not only had I wrapped myself around, I knew what my next step was. And my next step was going to be getting up in the morning, getting cleaned up, getting in here, and playing for Sunday church. And I did. That test, if you will, that opportunity, is what I took it as, displayed to me about knowing the truth about something. It took me all the way back to when I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old. It took me back to class with my teacher, and it took me back to, you know, and again, you've heard me talk about my grandmother, but as my grandmother, my mom, we all went through this, knowing the truth about something, you know. Don't just know the truth. You know, it was like, it wasn't even tolerated. You know, if you were in my grandmother's house and you bumped, it was not even addressed, not at all. And so the testimonies we had tonight, you know, about a car, you know, and about your father, which is unbelievable, and everybody here who's tonight that, you know, Gene, you know, we've shared so much, and Joni, we've shared a lot in regard to your testimony tonight for sure. And Scott, you know, again, what you shared tonight was so true. It's just so nice to come to a meeting, you know, to a, I don't even call it a meeting. I don't even know what the best way to describe this is. You know, we all get together, and there's this common thought and this common love, and we share it and we hear about it from the desk. We sing about it. We listen to it about it out here. And I don't even know how to describe it except that I love it so very much. And I thank you so much again for your readings tonight. I missed the creepy crawling things from the King James Version, but I got over it. I never figured out how I could put those in a song. I always wanted to put those in a song, some more creepy, crawly things, but I just never have figured that out. But again, thank you so much for reading. Again, thank you for hymn number 56. It is one of my favorites. One of my favorite words. I like the melody of it a lot, too. But I really love the words. So thank you for your hymn choices again tonight.
Thank you. Thank you all for sharing. We're going to conclude our service by singing hymn number 5. And I know this is the right one. I'll read the first verse. A voice from heaven we have heard, the call to rise from earth, put armor on, the sword now gird, and for the fight go forth. the foe in ambush claims our prize, then heed the high heaven's call. Obey the voice of truth. Arise and let not fear enthrall. Hymn number 5.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.